series that we've been engaged in for the last couple of weeks. We've started a series that we've been looking at how to serve Christ in our older age, because there are a number of teachings in God's Word, Old and New Testament, that show us the importance of the service of all Christians, even, and might say especially, in older years. And a lot of the Old Testament scriptures give the grounding for that, and much in the New Testament as well. Those are good things to know, as to see how we also treat those older than we are, but also if we are older, to know what we should be doing. If we're not yet, we're on the way there. Lord willing, if He gives us our life, preserves our life, and gives us those days, we'll be there soon enough. But we do need to know what we have to look forward to, or what we are looking forward to now, if that be the case, in older age, as what we can do in serving God. So tonight we want to look at starting with some of the scriptures in the Old Testament that show how God gave His emphasis on how He was going to use older ones in His work, particularly with Israel we're looking at now. We have a lot of specific examples that we want to get into in the course of our study. We're not trying to fly through this because there's a lot to cover. So we have a lot of examples going back to the book of Genesis and beyond that we eventually want to get to and explore in some detail to look at how God has given them for examples of serving Him even in older age. But for tonight, we want to start and look at some general scriptures that show how important those who were older in years and experience in the faith were to the work of God. And this has always been the case. But we go back to the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, the chapter where the Lord appeared to Moses out of the burning bush. And when He called Moses, who himself at this time was 80 years old, that's one of the examples we want to look at later. But our focus right now is not on Moses and the work he was going to do, but at this time that he appears to this older man out of the burning bush to call him to lead his people Israel out of bondage, he instructs Moses to go to the elders of Israel, the older ones of the Israelites. As God was going to be relying upon them, as He planned to use them in His work to lead His people. Of course, Moses had the important job of being the leader, judge of Israel, the prophet in that time, the one that would be the lawgiver that God was going to give the law of Moses through. And so he was going to continue to do that particular work through Moses, but he was going to use the elders of the tribes of Israel for that particular, to help Moses in that work. Let's look at verses 16 through 18 here in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, 16 through 18. "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." Now we can see definitely there how God was going to use Moses, but notice he said that Moses would go to the elders of Israel and they would go with Moses before Pharaoh. So this was God's plan for them to be used by him in this work to lead the people out of their bondage in Egypt. In chapter 4, Moses did the miraculous signs before the people of Israel, and we can see the involvement of the elders of Israel in seeing those signs and believing. Exodus 4, 29 through 31. "And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Well, who were the ones that were chosen especially to be witnesses of these miraculous signs? That they would believe and that they would have that position of leading their brethren to believe that God had indeed spoken to Moses and that God had visited his people Israel and they were going to be released from their bondage in Egypt and he was going to give them that promised land as he had promised to their fathers. Well, we see again in verse 29, the elders of the children of Israel were gathered together for that particular purpose. That shows God in his wisdom had that plan to use those who were older in that work of his to lead his people. And we see more of that in chapter 19 of the same book of Exodus, verses 7 and 8, as he starts to give his commandments to the people of Israel through Moses. In Exodus 19, 7 and 8, it says, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, of course, we do know later there was a big problem with they're not following through with their declaration right here. But again, we see that God did have these words spoken first to the elders of Israel. We again see how God intended to use them to help with the leading of the people and in the right way. And at least at this point, their words were right there in Exodus 19. Well, many years later, after generations of Israelites, one after another, that did not follow the Lord as they should, we could go through the history of the judges, and we know that cycle of rebellion, and then they would repent when they were under oppression. The Lord would raise up a judge and deliver them from their oppression. Then after that judge died, then the next generation would go astray again. That cycle is repeated over and over again throughout the history of the judges. Then they got the kings. We see very few righteous kings leading the people of Israel under that system of government when they had rejected that system that God had chosen for them, which was far superior, that of the judges. Nevertheless, after the period of the kings, when the Israelites had gone astray from him many times, under the leadership of so many wicked kings, well, of course, the Lord then sent his prophets to them to call them to repentance, to rebuke them. And who did God choose over and over again to speak to through the prophets to try to turn Israel around? Well, again, we see that he spoke many times specifically to the elders of Israel, trying to work with them, through them, to reach his people. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 1, we see an example of this. Jeremiah 29, 1 says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now that's the same group of people that Ezekiel, the prophet, was among personally. But we see at this time Jeremiah also was used to write a letter to them. But specifically it says there it was to the residue of the elders of Israel that were in captivity at that time. Once again showing their important role that God had for them. And we do know from other scriptures, those were the ones that he called in Jeremiah 24, the basket of good figs, the ones that God was going to bring to repentance. Even though they didn't look very good at the time, God did have something, he saw something in them that he was going to bring out of them to bring them back to him and give them that heart to know him. They would keep his commandments again. Then he was going to restore them after their repentance to the land of Israel after that 70 years of captivity. But he was using the elders of the people, working on them and through them to bring the rest of and the entire part of the captivity back to him. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 8, speaking of Ezekiel, as he's working with these same ones, in chapter 8, verse 1 of the book of Ezekiel, it says, it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. And so then through the rest of this chapter, and we see this repeated several times in Ezekiel, when the elders would be gathered before Ezekiel, then God would speak to Ezekiel and reveal through him teachings that the Israelites needed to hear. But so often it was the elders of the people that were there gathered to be the ones to hear those things from God's prophet. Another example we have in the prophet Joel, in the first chapter of the book of Joel. This is a few pages after Ezekiel, but book of Joel, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Sanctify ye fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Well, once more, who did God want to hear these words to, with the goal of listening to these words to repent so that that destruction wouldn't come? And he was trying to reach Israel through their elders. We have a lot of other examples of works that God was trying to do for Israel through the elders of the people, not just the revealing of his word, as we saw from early on with Moses all the way through to the time of the prophets, late in the history of Israel that's recorded in the Old Testament books. So really from its beginning through Moses to that end, we see all throughout God's work and his use of the elders of the people in working with Israel. But those same elders of Israel, God used to be involved in his work in so many ways in leading the people. Back to the book of Exodus in chapter 12, when he was now bringing the 10th plague upon Egypt, which was that plague in which the firstborn in Egypt of man and beast, all the firstborn died, but not of the children of Israel, who put the blood of the Passover lamb on their doors, and the angel of the Lord passed over their houses and did not slay their firstborn. And God, of course, made a feast to be to commemorate that occasion from then on permanently throughout the rest of the history of Old Testament Israel, all the way to the time of Christ. In fact, what was the occasion, what was the feast that was going on at the time in which our Lord was crucified? And that was at the Passover. That was also the same occasion in Acts 12 when Herod was going to make a spectacle of the Apostle Peter and put him to death. Of course, the Lord released Peter from prison. But we see the Passover was something that God instituted in the time of Moses, originally from when they were led out of Egypt, but that was to be remembered for the rest of their history. And we know there was the shadow of that too, as Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. So there was a shadow that was actually looking towards and was fulfilled ultimately in the spiritual sense through Jesus Christ, the one that has redeemed us all from our bondage in sin, to give us that freedom from sin. Well, as far as the shadow was concerned, the feast of the Passover, when it was instituted in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 21, says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. Well, who did Moses call for there in verse 21 to give these instructions to? Not just the instructions to follow that very night so they would be spared from that destruction that would befall the Egyptians, but also the instruction for how to keep that to be a memorial in Israel every year thereafter. Again, it was the elders of Israel. And the children would be the ones to ask questions about what they were doing. These ones who were older that had experienced this and that knew the Lord's teachings, it would be their responsibility, their job, to give that teaching to their children. So we see that particular work that God was going to do and how He intended to use the elders of the people to understand and know His ways and His word to be able to teach that to the generations that would follow. That's still a very important job that God has for those who are older in years in His service. That's always been His plan and continues to be. And how useful those who are older are to be able to teach younger ones the ways of the Lord, as they've had those years to learn those things, to have the experience in living those things, to be able to teach the younger ones. Very important work there. And we see that was something that God was doing very early on in Israel's history, right from the beginning. Well, He also used them in Leviticus chapter 4. The elders of the people, they had an important job in with the sacrifices when the congregation fell into sin. In Leviticus chapter 4, 13 through 15, it says, "And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord." Well, again, who did God put in this position to have this responsibility to carry out these commandments? As important as this was, to make sure there was atonement here for the people of Israel by their sacrifices. Well, this was again something that God had chosen the elders of Israel to be very prominent in leading. In the book of Numbers, in chapter 11 of the book of Numbers, here God had Moses to select 70 of the elders of Israel to share the burden in judgment for the nation of Israel. In fact, this goes back to an observation by Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, as he saw Moses cumbered with that heavy burden of having to judge all the people. This reminds me of many years ago when I was in India, and my dad was watching what I was doing, and he said, "Son, you can't lead the band and play all the instruments." Sometimes we might be tempted to try that when we're trying to do everything, but one person can't do it all, and we shouldn't be doing it all. We're not capable of doing everything. We all have to do the very most that we can, but we do need one another, and we need others to be involved in the Lord's work, and that's something that has to be shared, the burden of carrying out the Lord's work. Well, that was the case in Moses' time, and Jethro recognized that, knew that Moses needed some wise ones to help in that work of judging the people. The Lord agreed with that, and in Numbers chapter 11, in verses 16 and 17, He gave this instruction and said to Moses, "Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Well, in a few verses down, when we get to verses 24 and 25, this is exactly what happened. It says, "Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." well, why didn't the Lord choose among the youngest, the youngest and the most energetic of the Israelites? Why didn't he choose them for that job? You know, they could have all the energy to be able to be running around and doing all these things. Well, the Lord in his wisdom knew these older ones in Israel that were chosen for this would be the ones that would have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding and the experience that, that they would be able to use, that God could use through them in judging the people and supporting the work that Moses was doing. And so that was what God established there. If we had time, we could go through and look at many other passages and commandments in the Old Testament scriptures in which he involved the elders of the people in carrying out various commands. And this was in the judgment of the people. This was what God set up for his people Israel in the Old Testament. If we turn to the book of Psalms, 107, Psalms 107. And you know, we're surveying through this, and I know we've looked at a few verses, but we really are just scratching the surface of what we could look at as far as the details and how many passages there are that speak about the roles of the older ones in the faith, in the work of God in the Old Testament. In Psalm 107, verses 31 and 32, he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." Did he want his older ones to be actively involved and to have a leadership role in praising God and doing those things? I mean, we can see this in so many different applications in the Old Testament. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, this chapter, of course, is well known to us as the chapter where we have that great cloud of witnesses that encourage us, leading on into chapter 12, to run the race that is set before us in following Christ, looking to him as the author and finisher of our faith. But we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, all of these good examples who had faith in God, and by that faith, they did these things that are recorded in the Old Testament. And by the way, Hebrews chapter 11 exclusively gives examples from the Old Testament. In fact, as he gets towards the end of the chapter, he runs out of space and time to continue on with the details of those. But we have all of that there. That's why we have those 39 books of the Old Testament with all those details and with so many more. But he starts the chapter, the first two verses, saying, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Now there he's not talking about the office of elders in the New Testament. By faith they would obtain good report too. But by faith, anyone is going to obtain good report. But he's specifically referring to these older ones that he's giving as examples here. And then he starts from there and continues right to the throughout the chapter to its very end. But we see that principle there that the elders of the people would obtain good report with the Lord by having faith in him, which goes along with that proverb that we have read a few times involved in this particular series of lessons, Proverbs 16, verse 31, where he says, "The hoary head," which is the gray head, "is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." I mean, that's the same principle there in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. I mean, there should be a great advantage to having that time, that experience of those years in knowing God's Word, to have that faith and to be able to live it, to be able to teach that and exemplify that to others. Well, that was the case with those elders of the people in the Old Testament. We have a number of examples where they gave their wise counsel out of their faith and understanding and wisdom that they had obtained, in contrast to some of the younger ones. We remember when Rehoboam became king after Solomon's death. Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and this was the punishment that God had given for Solomon's period of rebellion later in his life that we know from Ecclesiastes he repented from. But nevertheless, God put that punishment upon Solomon, that he was going to take the kingdom away from his son Rehoboam, and he was going to give the 10 tribes of the north to Jeroboam, which he did in this chapter. And the way that God used, as it will say in this very chapter, that this was from the Lord to bring this about. But the way he was going to do that was by using the counsel of the young men that were around Rehoboam rather than him listening to the counsel of the ones who were older. And in the beginning of the chapter, Rehoboam went to Shechem. This is in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 1. For all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. Of course, they advised him to speak roughly to the people, and that's exactly what he did. A little bit later, down to verse 12, it says, So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So yes, it was God's will, but it came about by Rehoboam forsaking the counsel, the wise counsel of those older ones. And he listened to the counsel of the young men, and they did not give a wise counsel in that case. Another example, somewhat similar, in Jeremiah chapter 26, when Jeremiah was prophesying against the people and against Jerusalem, there were a number of the princes and leaders of the Jews at that time in Jerusalem that wanted to have him put to death. And in verses 17 through 19 here in Jeremiah 26, there were elders of the people that spoke rightly in this case. God used them to spare Jeroboam's life. And again, this was God's will to do that, as he was fulfilling a promise that he was going to protect and keep Jeremiah safe from the people. That was something he promised when he first called Jeremiah in chapter 1. He was continuing to be faithful to keep that promise, but here he used the wise counsel of the old men to do that. In Jeremiah 26, 17 to 19, Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morathite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. So here were these older ones that stood up and spoke wisely in that case, and their word prevailed there. Jeremiah was spared from the death that the others wanted to inflict upon him. But in the book of Lamentations, another book inspired through Jeremiah the prophet, all that Jeremiah had prophesied, and also the prophet Micah that was mentioned there in Jeremiah chapter 26, we know that ultimately the people didn't turn back to the Lord, and all those things came to pass, all of that destruction. And that's why the book of Lamentations was written after that was over, lamenting what had happened. But in chapter 4 and verse 16 of the book of Lamentations, it says that the anger of the Lord hath divided them. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests. They favored not the elders. So it came to that point where the people were not listening to the ones that God had chosen to work through to lead them to Him, as that was God's role for them. Well, those who are older can do their job, but what if the ones who are younger don't listen? And what if they don't follow what they say? I mean, that's going to be the responsibility of the ones that are younger, so maybe we need to have a series on that later. But for the older ones, we can see certainly God has a role for them, and it is their job to lead the people. But those who are there among them, when they are in the way of righteousness, they need to show that regard for those ones that God has for that particular role in His work. And it didn't stop with the Old Testament. And we see in the New Testament, not just with the office of elders, like in Titus chapter 1 where He gives the qualifications, one of those passages where He gives the qualifications for those who will hold the office of an elder. But in chapter 2, He's showing how He intends to use those who are older in years and experienced in the faith for the very important job for men and women in being that teacher and being the teachers and examples to those who are younger in Christ. Here we read from Titus chapter 2 verses 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Well, there he specifically mentions older men, older women in Christ, and the job they would have with the younger ones, and teaching them those ways of the Lord. So as God had that plan and purpose for His people Israel in the Old Testament, He still has that same plan and purpose for using those who are older in years and experienced in the faith for His work in the church and the New Testament. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, when we see the description in chapter 4 of heaven, that vision that the Apostle John was given there, of God on His throne, and there are these ones that are surrounding Him there in heaven itself. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." And then the last two verses of chapter 4, it says, "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, is it by accident in this vision of heaven that John is given that there are older ones there that are offering that submission to God and that praise to God while He's on His throne? I mean, it's consistent with what we see throughout the Bible, Old and New Testaments, and the honor that God gives to those who are older that are faithful servants of His. That should be an encouragement to any and all in Christ, those that are already there as far as reaching that advanced age, to fulfill that work that God has in store for them, for you, or those that are on their way there. We can see where we're heading if the Lord wills to give us that time on this earth. We should be aspiring to be used by God in that way in His work, as long as the Lord has us here on this earth and gives us our strength and life. We want to be serving Him and fulfilling His will and being useful to Him in His kingdom. We'll continue with this series, Lord willing. I guess we'll be taking a break next Sunday night, as we will have Brother Peter bringing us a lesson. But in 2 weeks from tonight, Lord willing, we'll continue with this as we want to start delving into some of the specific examples that God has given in His Word and what we can learn from that. And we also want to go into, as part of that, looking at some of the particular challenges that are there for those who are older in years, some of the things that they have to deal with, some of the temptations, things that they have to overcome and work with, and that go along with being older. But in spite of all of that, how God has a good work for them to do. So we have a bit more to go here in this particular study that we want to continue to engage in, Lord willing. But for tonight, this is an opportunity for anyone that is here that is not yet a member of the body of Christ. If you are here and ready to confess your faith in Christ before men tonight, repenting, then this is an opportunity for you to obey those commands and to be baptized into Him, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you need to obey the gospel tonight to put on Christ in baptism, to have your name written in heaven and have hope of eternal life, we're encouraging you to come forward at this time. Or if you are a member of the body of Christ, if you need to repent of sin, if you need the prayers of the church, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to come tonight, please do so now while we stand together and sing.